Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Download our free course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, at entrearchitect.com/free course. This is Entree Architect Podcast, and you're listening to episode 161. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. SketchUp is a great tool for small firm architects to very quickly develop our 2D ideas into full 3D models. It's not BIM, and it's not super efficient for full, you know, your full production workflow, but when used as a quick and dirty way to create models to develop our concepts or to share with a colleague or to present to a client early on in the design process, that's where this product thrives. There are few programs better suited for that. This week at Entree Architect Podcast, SketchUp for small firm architects with founder of evolvingarchitect.com, Mike LaValle. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by NCARB, helping architects reach their career goals. Explore your options today at ncarb.org, ncarb.org. And TrueStyle, the leader in high-end architectural interior doors. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/TrueStyle. That's TRUSTILE. And FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. Mike LaValle, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark. Really happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you here. I've been following you for a while with what you're doing over at Evolving Architect. Mike is an architect based in Buffalo, New York, here in the U.S. Yep. He's a prolific blogger, founder of evolvingarchitect.com, a great blog and new site, or not necessarily so new anymore, couple years old now, and very active on social media. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, you've probably seen the Evolving Architect brand or Mike LaValle. And so Mike's going to share a little bit of his story. We're going to start with your origin story like we always do, Mike. Go back to where you discovered architecture, what inspired you to become an architect, and give us that story, that journey from that point all the way to where you find yourself today.
Sure, no problem. I've kind of always known that I wanted to be an architect. It's been something that's maybe except for the times in my childhood where I wanted to be a mad scientist or a doctor. But there's always been this sort of probably the oversaturated stereotype that, you know, you play with Legos and then you build and you make things and just sort of find your way to architecture. And I had also looked a little bit at engineering when I was looking at colleges and things, but there's a sort of a creative aspect that I really loved about architecture. And once I visited some studios and some schools and realized, hey, I'm not just going to be going to classes. I'm going to be going to this place where there's a community and there's people sort of interacting with each other in a space that's very it's a good space to foster that creativity. So I went to Syracuse and graduated in 08 with a bachelor's of architecture. And I immediately moved back to Buffalo, partially because that's where my wife and I have our family. And I had looked at a few other places, but eventually just sort of settled on Buffalo because of the kinds of places that I wanted to work at. And, you know, I've gone to a few jobs and right now I'm working mostly with K-12 schools. And I really like that because there's something really awesome about designing spaces for little kids that are, you know, it's going to help them learn and sort of grow and create things on their own, and making spaces for those types of users is really rewarding. After I got my license in 2015, I had actually been sort of thinking about doing some sort of blogging for a while before that, probably for a long time before that, probably a year or so. But I had just been such in the throes of taking my exams and trying to get through that, that I put that on hold knowing that I couldn't do both at the same time. So it was literally probably like a week or two after I found out I passed my final exam, and I had already done all my experience and things like that, that I just dove, you know, full force into blogging. And I've been doing that sort of ever since. And, you know, I think the sort of mantra that I have with that is I've always loved learning. And I think that especially in architecture as a profession, architects, you know, they start learning and they never really stop, whether that's through continuing education or just sort of a desire to stay up with different kinds of technologies and different kinds of new ways of building. I think that I had a really sort of strong pull towards that sort of mentality. And that's what Evolving Architect is really all about, is you're always changing, you're always evolving. And the most successful architects among us, I think, are the ones that really take that to heart and try to better themselves continually. So I've been doing that for a long time. And fairly recently, within the last few months, I've started to actually teach more on my site and on YouTube and things like that. And what I've been doing is we've called them the Workshop Wednesdays, where once a month I'll go into about an hour long sort of, it's kind of like a seminar on a different topic, things like intro to resumes or portfolios or networking or goal setting or SketchUp or things that I think they're going to help emerging professionals specifically. That's sort of been the focus audience that I've been trying to help most so far, whether that's with the AREs or things like that. And the reason I went there is because the other sort of part of me for starting Evolving Architect is I always wanted to teach. And I knew that having sort of a blog or a presence online could allow me to do that in a way that I didn't really want to. I wanted to go back to grad school, but for either financial reasons or time or effort in terms of trying to make that happen, I wanted to sort of make something that was my own. And that's sort of how Evolving Architect kind of came about. So I've been doing a lot more of the teaching side of that in Evolving Architect recently, because I feel like that's sort of the next logical step for the site and kind of where I'm taking it. From there, I noticed that there was a real need for specifically skills in programs and things like that. So one of the, a couple of the workshops, actually I did two of them, were related to, I don't know if you can hear my dog in the background.
That's okay. What's his name?
Dexter.
Dexter. Dexter's hanging out with you.
Yeah. So I noticed that the one of the real programs that people sort of were latching on to, especially when I was doing these workshops, was SketchUp. And recently I've sort of taken it to the next level and created a full, it's actually like a 7-hour plus course to lead architects and designers specifically through the process of understanding how to use SketchUp and use it. The way I think about it is use it in a way that they can apply that directly to how you would use it in a firm. So it's a very practical set of skills. I'm not just trying to show you that SketchUp is an awesome program or something like that. I'm taking students through from learning the interface all the way through creating a house model with all the details in between, and it's all live sort of through the entire process. I don't really skip any steps. I want you to see the messiness. I want you to understand sort of what the problems are when they come up so that you're not lost if something like that happens to you. And I just love that process. I love sort of explaining things that, you know, just to help people sort of evolve and sort of build those skills so that they can kind of go back out into the world and really do something that's great. So
yeah, I love the idea of evolving architect. I love that. I love blogging for architects. You know, I love that we can create a site, you know, create a place where we can express ourselves and share our ideas with the world and the profession, and give back to other people and build communities around these things. And we can all do this. So it's really exciting to see you and watch Evolving Architect evolve. And I love the idea that Evolving Architect can evolve with you, that you can start it. You can, you know, share what you know now. And then as you grow and as you evolve and your profession changes and the profession changes, this site can continue to evolve with your profession and the profession of others. It's really exciting to see that. And I love that concept.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I think that one of the reasons why I intentionally made it Evolving Architect was just for that reason. I've noticed even since, as I get farther and farther away from the ARE, it's not that I don't want to keep talking about that, but I find my own interests sort of evolving. And I think that there's a need for, as my interests start changing, there's still a need for those things because there's people at my place in my career that are sharing that same experience. And it's fun to sort of watch those people sort of grow with me as I'm helping them. So I'll learn more about something and try to share it with other people. And it's just sort of this back and forth dialogue that I really love. It's an ever growing sort of organic process where it's not a stagnant thing where I'm locked into one topic for the rest of my life. I really wanted to make sure that I wasn't necessarily niching down too much in the topic that I was talking about, because I still wanted to give myself opportunities to grow and evolve. And I didn't know necessarily when I started what this was really going to be. So it's given me a lot of freedom to sort of experiment and play around with that creativity.
Yeah. You talked about your Wednesday courses or your webinars.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit more, and where can we find those? How can we, you know, connect with you on Wednesdays to do that? What are those all about? Get into a little more detail about that.
Yeah. So what I've been doing is pretty much posting a new video once each month on my YouTube channel. So it's youtube.com/evolvingarchitect. And really the simple way to explain it is I had been doing these month to month and just sort of coming up with whatever idea I thought was next. And then this year, as a way to sort of change that, I've laid out the entire year based on feedback from the community. I just sort of put the question out there, like, what do you guys want to know about? And part of it is the sort of new ARE system, the ARE 5. And the other half of the year is things like, you know, I just did a intro to goal setting, and intro to networking were the first two for the for this year. And then the next one would be an ARE topic. And I'm trying to bounce back and forth between those so that the people who are sick of me talking about the ARE can kind of get something out of the goal setting, or, you know, because the goal setting, I think, was very timely at the beginning part of the year because a lot of people are doing that. And then I can sort of bounce back into the ARE for the students or the recent grads that are sort of in that mindset. And I'm trying to sort of balance everything and sort of just provide a varied amount of content throughout the year. But the reason why they're only once a month also is because if I did them once a week, it would probably kill me because there's a lot of it's basically like creating a full on self-contained 1 hour seminar that I have to basically create from scratch each time. So it takes probably somewhere between 4 and 8 hours to just build that together and research and kind of bring all those details together. So once a month. And then I think over time, what I'm doing this year specifically is I'm going to start integrating little bits of content in between so that you, if you are a subscriber to the channel, it's not like you only get that once a month. It's a little bit like maybe there's little tutorials on one aspect of SketchUp or, you know, a little nod to this or that in your sort of professional day to day. So it's like everything else, it is evolving. And I think I'm really excited about trying out these new different types of social, and getting on and sort of behind the camera has been sort of interesting too. I'm generally a shy person by nature. So one of the reasons why I'm selfishly doing some of this stuff is to get myself out there and sort of put myself out there a little bit more, whether that's through audio, video, or, you know, whatever, just to kind of grow myself so that I'm evolving.
Yeah. Diving into the deep end with video.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched some of your videos. I watched the intro to productivity.
Yeah.
It was very well done. And I couldn't imagine doing that on a weekly basis. I mean, to create that type of content. But I love that you know, you're going to sprinkle in some other stuff as well that's less produced, and keep the YouTube channel fresh. And I think YouTube is one of those channels in social media that architects are not taking advantage of. There are a few out there that are doing it. I think it's a place that's growing very, very rapidly. I'm actually finding myself, my attention, is moving toward a more video, more YouTube. Whereas it was very minor in where I would go for social media. Almost every day I'm on YouTube now looking for, you know, either looking for some tutorial on finding out how to do something, or just following a few channels that post on a daily basis or a weekly basis and just, and watching that happen. It'll be interesting to see some architects, go to YouTube and see how they can use that channel in a creative way to promote them, either themselves as architects or their firm.
Sure.
So it's exciting to see that. And we'll put a link to that channel on our show notes. This is episode 161. So entrearchitect.com/episode161 will be the show notes, and we'll have links to everything we're talking about here today. Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect: NCARB, True Style Doors, and FreshBooks. Do you know someone in your firm who's always dreamed of getting licensed but was unable to complete the experience requirement? Well, maybe that person's you. Now you can get back on track with NCARB's new AXP portfolio. With this option, seasoned professionals can complete the Architectural Experience Program, the AXP, formerly the IDP, they've switched things up a little bit, by submitting an online portfolio. And along with meeting your state's education and examination requirements, the portfolio will help you or your employee get one step closer to becoming an architect. Learn more about the AXP portfolio at ncarb.org/entrearchitect. True Style is passionate about providing us small firm architects with the inspiration and the tools to transform our designs with the most authentic and distinctive doors available. And now we can see True Style doors and how they worked with the National Association of Home Builders and architect Phil Keane to create a show-stopping interior door package for the 2017 new American home. To download the case study or watch a video and learn how True Style doors can help differentiate your next project, visit entrearchitect.com/TrueStyle. True Style, driven by design. Visit entrearchitect.com/TrueStyle. So how do you get paid faster? Well, one more way is to use FreshBooks. FreshBooks is a full function online accounting system built for us, small firm architects. We're small businesses. It includes invoices, expense management, time tracking, and so much more. It does everything I wanted to do in order to get paid faster. I could send invoices efficiently on the same day. I could set up FreshBooks to automatically send reminders with the words and the timing that I want. And I can accept credit cards for payment. You should give it a try. When you're ready to give FreshBooks a try, go to freshbooks.com/architect. And sign up for your free 30-day unrestricted trial and get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, more organized, and most importantly, get paid faster. FreshBooks.com/architect. And don't forget to let them know that Entree Architect sent you in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And one of the other things that you're doing through, you know, so you mentioned that you're teaching. It gives you this opportunity to teach. You don't actually have to go out and become a professor or work at a school. You can just share your own knowledge, you know, build your own site and share your own knowledge. And one of the great ways to do that is to do this YouTube thing. So you can give away some really valuable resources there and then take things to the next level by creating more full out courses. Like you had mentioned that you have a SketchUp course that you've put together. Let's talk about that a little bit. So
sure.
That's the first course on Evolving Architect. Let's talk about SketchUp first before we sort of get into the course itself. How long have you been using SketchUp and why are you focusing on SketchUp, as one of the first things that you want to talk about?
Sure. I think it's, two things. I've been using it since I was a sophomore in college. And it was just one of the first sort of, so that's about, let's say, 12 or 13 years now. And I started using it on a project. I remember having this one conversation in studio late at night. Everybody had left except this one other guy. And I remember seeing it for the first time and just being sort of like, you can really do that, and you can do that that quickly. And I was just sort of dumbfounded by how easy it was to create three-dimensional models in what seemed like real time. I mean, I know that there's process in terms of trying to create this stuff and build it, but you know, when you're taking surfaces and just pressing a button and it extrudes into some three-dimensional form, there's something really powerful about that that I think sort of grappled onto me. And so I've been using it pretty much through, I used it all through school, and I've been using it fairly regularly in all of my work projects. I've done a lot of design competitions. I just use it as a way to quickly iterate and conceptualize the different kinds of concepts that I want to sort of bring forth. And then the other reason why I sort of focused on SketchUp was because, like I had said, I had sort of taken note of who was watching the videos that I was, was running. And another, I guess, selfish reason for me sort of spreading the different kinds of ideas through those workshops was to see, well, okay, do people even care about this topic? Do people care about this topic? And it's sort of like its own passive survey. And I guess the third reason is because I didn't want to start with something deliberately about the ARE. Just because I feel like there's a lot of other people that are really good at doing that, and they're doing it well, and there's a lot of information out there. But I wanted to do something that I felt like, even though there's a lot of tutorials, there's a lot out there in terms of just how to use SketchUp, but there's not a lot out there in terms of how to use SketchUp for architecture and using it specifically in an office, which is what I've been using it for the last, 10 odd years. So that's kind of how that came about.
So are you using SketchUp for your full design production workflow from beginning to end?
No, I would say that the thing I use SketchUp primarily for, there's sort of sibling programs that come with the SketchUp package, yep. Layout, for instance. And I don't really use those. I use this mostly I think of it more like sketching. It's a way to iterate very quickly and also to present very raw models and ideas to clients who have no idea how to read two-dimensional drawings, or it's not as common for them to understand how to read those. So SketchUp becomes a very practical tool in the sense that I can explain through an image or a very quick sort of raw rendering what the idea is without trying to build a full physical model or something like that would take 10 times as long.
Yeah.
So that's primarily what I use it for. I don't go ahead.
So you're using it for 3D modeling.
Yeah.
And so it would basically take the place of a physical study model. So for throwing mm-hmm. cardboard together and showing massing, and so this is where the porch is going to be, and this is the roof structure, and this is how the windows are going to be placed. No detail, but basically big open, big study model level of 3D models.
Yeah, and depending on what we need, depending on what the client is, I've done very detailed versions of things in SketchUp, but I think those are a little bit few and far between. One of the things that I try to teach in the SketchUp course is, building a SketchUp model is not building, it's not constructing a building. It's sort of the representation of what that building might look like. You're not going to draw or physically model every bit of casing around a door. You're going to make a sort of an abstraction frame around a door and things like that, where you're just trying to get across the idea more so than you are trying to detail every single piece of the building in SketchUp, which is one of the reasons why I love it. I think some people might argue with me that it's great for everything, but I would say that SketchUp definitely has its limitations, and I would prefer to use for like construction documents and things like that. I'd prefer to use other tools like AutoCAD, Revit, or the firm that I'm at right now actually uses Vectorworks, mm-hmm. and I would prefer to use those to actually create the documents and the details and things like that, because it's just a little bit easier to work with, and more people know how to do that than they do to create the construction documents straight out of the model from SketchUp.
So in your workflow, you're essentially, it's early on. So when you're doing hand sketches on paper and kind of working things out and putting some preliminary schematic designs together to present to a client, that's where SketchUp fits for you before it goes into full production mode.
Yeah, I would say ideally that's kind of where you want it. And it helps actually with the detailing in a sort of indirect way. You can very quickly see whether or not a door is going to line up with another system very easily, or something that's vertically like a canopy. You can sort of very easily understand, well, if the canopy's here and the structure behind it needs to be there, and it physically can't be designed this other way. You can just sort of figure out what the pitfalls or the troubleshooting that you're going to kind of run up against, which is another reason why it's a great tool, I think. But that's it.
Well, would you recommend SketchUp as for somebody who, let's say, because right now I'm going from CAD to BIM. I'm looking at ArchiCAD yep. and Revit. I'm in the process of experimenting with both. After years and years of struggling to make this transition, I'm still struggling with making this transition. Would you, and I've played with SketchUp a little bit and I've done some modeling with it. Would you recommend using SketchUp for those type of people like me to sort of transition from CAD 2D to a BIM product? Or is that going to sort of shift our mindset in the wrong place to, before you get to a BIM? Or should we just jump right into BIM and use SketchUp purely for, you know, for the sketches that, that we need?
I guess it depends on sort of how much you are ingrained as a person individually into whatever package you've been using. So, for example, I was using AutoCAD on a particular project that I'm thinking about that was a very repetitive residential unit project, multi-story, developer-driven, and we knew at the time when that firm was transitioning to BIM that we had the people on the project that were already familiar with 3D in general that we could move directly into Revit. And that was, SketchUp became just a sort of an ancillary, sort of secondary tool to present things. Because I still think that even though Revit is great for 3D and you could argue that it's really great for rendering and things like that, I still was able to make the SketchUp model faster. It's sort of like, you know, if you give me a pencil, I'll be able to sketch anything faster than you could draw it in CAD. The same mentality there with the levels of complication or complexity in the information from the model that you're looking at. So I think it depends. You could either go and use it as sort of a preliminary tool to say, okay, well, I'm an architect. I know about space. I could start to play around with these tools. I mean, SketchUp as a base program is free, so it's very easy to sort of get into. The only time you would need the upgraded version is if you're exporting or importing CAD drawings or things like that, which, you know, if you're just trying to play around with it and understand it, it's a very accessible tool, which is one of the reasons why I think it's so great. It's a little bit harder to get into, say, a Revit if you have only 2D experiences, or if, you know, maybe you're still hand drawing only. I don't know if anybody still is for their CDs, but you know, depending on the individual, I would say you're probably, your best bet is to maybe play around in SketchUp. But if you're really going to make the jump to Revit, you might just want to make the jump to Revit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Whether or not you use SketchUp, I guess, is up to you.
Yeah. So let's say somebody wants to stick with 2D, but they want to bring in some 3D to sort of help present their ideas and provide to our clients the expectation of 3D. Because I think at this point, our clients, even residential clients, are starting to expect to see 3D drawings.
Sure.
So let's say somebody, a sole practitioner using AutoCAD, doesn't want to jump to Revit or ArchiCAD or Vectorworks. They're gonna try SketchUp to learn it. What are some of the tips for somebody like that to quickly grasp the idea of how SketchUp works? Do you have a few suggestions on what people should do to sort of get started?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is probably the easiest thing to do is just sort of open the program, you know, install it on your computer. It's very easy to install it on Mac or PC and just start playing with each of the tools. There's the way I think of it is it's less like modeling in 3D and more like drawing in 3D. And just sort of, I think, why they named it SketchUp in the first place. You're primarily using a drawing tool or a pencil tool to draw 3D objects. And you can extrude them and you can sort of build on those objects and make more complicated figures. But I think if you just start playing around with like the line tool, which is your pencil sort of primary drawing tool, and start to understand what it means to draw not only in sort of an X and Y direction, but to draw in a Z direction. It's a very sort of interesting and odd feeling to do that for the first time because we're so naturally just drawing on a 2D plane if we're sketching outside the computer that when you're starting to click up and down, it's a very sort of unique sensation. And I think just playing around with those and getting a handle on what it's like to draw in three dimensions is the first thing. And the second thing I always tell people is to create shortcuts for all of the basic commands that you're using. So the thing that I try to stress in the course is we, by nature, even if you're left-handed, I know a lot of people that use the mouse with the right hand, for example. And I always tell people to create all the shortcut keys as far to the left side of the keyboard as you can, because your left hand naturally wants to be near ASDF, sort of on the keyboarding home row. And for example, the line tool, its shortcut key by default that SketchUp gave it is L, because it's L for line. But I typically actually would apply that to D because it's closer to where my left hand is. And then you don't have to constantly be moving your hands around the keyboard. It makes it simpler. So those are kinds of the basic things that I tell people, is understand how to draw in three dimensions in the program and create shortcuts as fast as you can so that you're not – I remember this one quote from my calculus teacher, and she's probably one of the most memorable teachers I have from high school. She said that practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. So as you learn something, you're going to learn it permanently for yourself, and it's very hard to – unbreak those tendencies that you have. So I recommend playing around in the program, seeing what fits for you, and just try to stick with it so that you're sort of locked in a little bit.
Yeah, I love that. Progress doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. It's I've said, and I've heard, progress doesn't make perfect, or practice doesn't make perfect, it makes progress. My brain's not working. So actually, let's can you break down your course a little bit? I think we're going to wrap up in a few minutes, but talk about the course itself and how it's broken down and what people could learn from it, and then share how somebody could connect with you to take a look at some more information.
Sure, no problem. I think the first probably 5 or 6, it's broken into what I would say the equivalent of book chapters. And then there's sort of sub lessons from that. So each major idea, you know, the first thing we look at is the user interface and try to understand, okay, well, this is where my toolbars usually are. This is where my trays are, which are basically expanding on those tools in sort of more globalized settings that you can adjust in real time. And then we go into each individual tool that we're going to have to, you know, it's not every single tool. If it was every single tool, I don't know if the course would ever have been finished, but it's maybe the first 10 or so tools that are really the ones you should focus on first. And then we go pretty much straight into building a house. And the thing that I love about the course is it's based on a house that I call the Flux Residence. That is, it's a project that I made as a design competition entry on my own maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I never finished it. I submitted what I had, but I never finished it. And sort of the idea of the course is to help me finish that house. So I've adjusted the floor plans, and I've kind of made it, tailored it a little bit more to somebody who's learning the program for the first time. And then I don't even give you elevations. I don't give you anything other than, you know, we're going to take this house from floor plans, which is where you would probably start if you're using SketchUp as an architect. And we're taking it all the way through to sort of the final export of, you know, the images and the views. It doesn't get completely into, you know, there's lots of plugins that you can add, like V-Ray, as an example, to make a very pretty, very high class rendering. We don't get into that as much, but it's taking you through the practical steps to go from A to Z of, okay, I have floor plans, I'm just starting in SketchUp, and at the end you sort of have a model that you can show people, even if you wanted to say, hey, I know how to use SketchUp, because I'm not giving you the final model file either, because I want you to show me sort of through the progress of the course, like, did you understand what we were doing? And you know, there's a little bit of a Facebook group that goes along with this as a way to bring all the students together and share ideas and, you know, share what your results were, so that we're all working together to help you understand the program.
it'll be interesting. It would be interesting to see the different elevations and models that people create from that one floor plan. You know, if you line them all up, you have, you know, 20, 30 models of your students' creations based on just a floor plan, and see how different they are. That would be cool to see all that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I stress throughout the whole course, just, you know, if I'm doing something, I'm saying, hey, this is a point where you could do this other way. You know, maybe it's not a shed roof and it's a gabled roof, you know, or it's a flat roof, and you can kind of go from there and I tell people to make the house their own so that it feels like they accomplished something at the end. And it's not just me sort of regurgitating what I think it should be. I mean, I end up with my own design at the end, which is great because I finally finished this project, but it's meant as a way to sort of elicit other people's own creativity. So
is there an easy place for people to go find more information?
Yeah. Right now you could pretty much go to evolvingarchitect.com and find it there. The more specific URL would be evolvingarchitect.com/sketchup-architecture. And that'll take you right to the page and give you more information and the breakdown of what you get.
Okay, great. Mike, thanks for joining me here today. Mike's website, as he just mentioned, is Evolving Architect. You can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/evolvingarchitect. Is that right?
That's the one thing that's probably different.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I thought it was Mike LaValle, right?
It's Archivalle. So
Archivalle, right.
Yep. Archivalley.
Right. That's, when I said that, I knew that wasn't right. But you have a great Facebook group for Evolving Architect. So that's facebook.com/groups/evolvingarchitect. Mm-hmm. And the YouTube channel, youtube.com/evolvingarchitect. Anywhere else that you want to share?
No, I would just say that the one thing that I also do is a weekly newsletter it's not always just the blog content. Sometimes it's just my ideas of whatever is going on with me that week and how I'm evolving or how I think other people might benefit from my own experiences. So you can find that on a website as well, but that's another sort of extra thing that I do.
Yeah, cool. I have one more question, and I didn't warn you about this, but if you've been listening to the podcast for the last few months, I've been asking one specific question to every guest, and I'd love to ask this of you and see what you come up with. What is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow? You know, something that's really easily executed and see some results in short term.
Sure. I think whether it's the first thing that comes to mind is whether it's SketchUp or another program or another skill, I think that building upon what you already know to create a sort of not necessarily a portfolio, but to create a wider knowledge base for yourself is the first priority for me. It's the building skills and understanding new programs and new ways of building or new ways of interacting with the profession, I think, are always the first thing I look for in terms of how to execute now so that I'll be better tomorrow. And I think that's what I would say, whether it's SketchUp or something else. It could be specifications and really honing in on that skill, or something completely related to marketing or something like that. Building those skills individually over time add up in a very profound way. And I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, small victories. Go find a small victory. Yep. So, Mike, thanks for spending some time with me here today. I appreciate you sharing your knowledge about Evolving Architect and the profession in general, and especially with SketchUp. I appreciate you sharing your knowledge with the podcast today.
No problem. Happy to do it. And the one thing I would just say is that, you know, the podcast here has been a real inspiration to me. It's helped me find a lot of different people. As an example, Eric Reinhold's Architecture Entrepreneur books on my desk right now. And, you know, I found people like him just because I listen to this podcast a lot. And, you know, I really appreciate what you do. So
yeah, I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you very much. I want to thank Mike LaValle for being with us here today at Entre Architect Podcast and for those kind words that he shared at the end of the episode there. You know, that's why I do this. That's why I keep coming back week after week here at the podcast and at the blog and at the newsletter. It's because of people like Mike, people of the Entree Architect community. They keep asking for more. They support what we're doing here. I want to change the profession, and all of you are helping me do that. So thank you very much, Mike, and all of you in the Entree Architect community. If you liked what we shared here today, please share this episode with a friend. You can go to entrearchitect.com/episode161. You can get the complete show notes and a link to download this episode if you wanted to share a file of this episode or save it for any reason you might want to reference later. entrearchitect.com/episode161. Share it with everybody you know. Let's grow this community even bigger. The more people involved in Entree Architect and what we're doing, the more knowledge that's going to be shared, and the benefits are infinite. Don't forget to visit the website to gain access to our digital course. We're sharing some knowledge right there. Profit for small firm architects, and learn how to build a powerful profit plan. You know, we built this course because that's what people said that they're struggling with the most, trying to figure out their financials, figuring out how to end up the year with a profit. This course is really simple, goes step by step, shows you how to put together a powerful profit plan for your firm. EntreeArchitect.com/free course. Hundreds of architects have already downloaded this and are benefiting it from every day. And it's free. We're giving it away. We want to share some value, share some knowledge. EntreeArchitect.com/free course. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. And I encourage you with all my heart to build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.